It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast, sponsored by the number 4. If you want to listen to Cut 4, you're going to need the 4. Here's the cast.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. We have a great show for you this week. I am joined by my good friend and co-worker, Gemma Kaneko.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
I'm glad.
It's lovely out here in New York City. The weather is great.
It's kind of cold today.
Actually, it is kind of cold today. Let's check in with our weather correspondent from Philadelphia, the one and only Cup 4 writer, Mike Bertha. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? What's up with it?
You know, it's good. It's good. How's the weather in Philly?
Wonderful. The last time I was on the podcast, I actually did it outside on my roof deck, and tonight I'm inside. It's a little windy.
So oh, look who has a roof deck. So fancy.
Yeah, that was a humble
so
brag.
Fancy.
I'm pretty sure that's what that was.
Yeah, that's the Cup 4 satellite office in Philadelphia. We have outdoor days on the side.
Oh, it's like when you...
It's like recess.
When you would say, can we have class outside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now in my life, I'm the person that asked that question, and I'm also the teacher who says, yeah, definitely class outside.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that we began today with, a venture into, the meteorological world. You know, that's a shout-out to Mike Trout.
Yeah, because of his great interest in meteorology.
Rumor that he's very interested in meteorology. Mm-hmm. But... you know, enough about the weather, enough about this silly stuff. It's time to get into the real important, hard-hitting news that you are listening to the Cup Forecast to receive. And the first thing that we want to talk about is really a question that is burning in the minds of baseball fans everywhere. We're not talking about, designated hitter in the National League, none of that silly stuff. We're talking about the most important thing. Which MLB player would win a baseball-themed version of Dancing with the Stars? That, I think, is a question everyone sits at home and asks themselves during every single baseball game.
Constantly, not even when baseball's not on. Just you wake up, you think about it all day.
It's true. Yeah. Pour coffee. Man, I wonder who would be the best.
I venture to guess that Dancing with the Stars viewers are sitting there thinking about it as well. You don't have to just be watching baseball. We don't have to, pigeonhole ourselves into baseball fans. I'm sure that's, they're not actually concerned with what's going on the television. They're just fantasizing about baseball players doing it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So... we thought we would offer up our thoughts on this important, newsworthy question. Obviously, the biggest dance story of the week, possibly even of the year, was Munenori Kawasaki of the Toronto Blue Jays organization doing a sort of strange workout / dance in a Japanese commercial. It was wonderful. I personally loved it.
As he is, always.
Yeah, he cut 2013 Cut 4 Gibby winner.
Mm-hmm.
That's Muni's claim to fame, I think. I think he probably is most proud of that achievement above all else. But Gemma, we'll start with you. Other than Muni, who do you think would win in the baseball Dancing with the Stars?
I actually think baseball is a great mine for Dancing with the Stars contestants. There are a lot of great dancers
it's
in
true.
Baseball. We already know Hunter Pence is a great dancer. Also, we saw him doing a little dance on his Instagram. Celebrating was something. I don't know what, but he was having a great time.
He's almost healthy again.
Yeah, so why not dance? So I think that he would be a strong contender. I don't know that he would win, but okay. I think he'd be a strong contender. I'm going to say that I think I think an actual winner would probably be Omar Vizquel.
Oh.
He's a salsa dancer. He's actually kind of good at salsa dancing. And since it's all classical, in some sense, it has its roots in dances with steps. I think he would be really good. I mean, obviously, I think that Kutch would also kill it.
Yeah.
He's very suave. He's very athletic. That helps when you're, a great dancer. Athletes win Dancing with the Stars a lot.
It's true. I've noticed that as well. It does tend to be, exclusively the athlete's domain.
Yeah.
And it's oftentimes figure skaters,
which I feel
is really unfair.
Seems unfair, yeah. That seems like an unfair advantage.
But Kutch, and while we are disappointed with him shaving the dreads, that would help his balance, presumably.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And we've seen him dance on the base
pads
before.
We've seen him dance all the time, so.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, that's my solid pick, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Bertha, what about you?
I think this conversation needs to start and end with Ichiro. I mean, nobody plays the game with more grace. I would love to set up an alert for my MLB TV to anytime he's on base, be able to watch him because it's, constantly a show. And so, like, when Jim mentioned Hunter Pence, and his dancing isn't as graceful as I think Ichiro's would be. Like, it's that robotic DDR, you know, just doing exactly what the screen's telling me to do. And I think that, you know, the dancing, the movements involved with the classical dancing style would just, you know, come naturally to Ichiro.
That makes sense. I will say, Hunter Pence absolutely looks like the kind of person who was very into DDR.
I mean, absolutely. You also saw him play the other dance game. It's not DDR. It's a different one.
What other
one? I think it's just called Just Dance.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
There are multiple iterations of robotic dance.
He streams that on Twitch.
Yes, he does. He's like a big gamer. I guarantee you he's played a round of DDR in his life.
Absolutely. More than... He was one of those kids who hung out at the arcade.
Who would, hustle played, people.
Yeah, was always
hustling
on
DDR. I believe it. I absolutely believe it. When I meet Hunter Pence, it's the first question I ask him.
I like that. I like Ichiro. I think that's a really good choice.
Also, I would like audition to be a Dancing with the Stars, like one of the people who dances with the stars, so I could be Ichiro's partner.
So you would... You think you're a professional dancer?
I would become a professional dancer in order to dance with Ichiro.
Well, that you're gonna need to prove that at some point by like actually doing like ballroom dancing.
I can only swing dance.
Okay. I
actually took ballroom dancing in college, and I mean it's a blast.
Wait, could you win Dancing with the Stars?
No, I definitely could not.
No,
win
come on. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm absolutely.
The bar is not that high. I feel like.
But yeah, Mike, you need to audition to be a professional dancer on Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, I would love to audition, except I mean it would take months and months of rigorous practice to get me back to, you know, my heyday, 2009.
You know, well, the alternative.
I got named in the course, but the extent of my experience since then has been like occasionally hearing polka music while I'm out at a beer garden.
Well, you're welcome to come swing dancing with me in New York at any time.
You need to. It comes back to you, like, just, you know, like in the Manchurian Candidate or something. Uh-huh. Hear the polka music.
Like riding a bike.
There's no polka.
I'm sure.
Well, the alternative, obviously, is just being a star, which you already are.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't understand why they haven't come calling already.
Yes.
That's the real question.
This is
you know
true.
What? I'm assuming that, you know, the casting call, it probably bounced to an old email address. And I can't imagine they intentionally snubbed me the way that they have.
Yeah, because I would watch you compete against any of these people. I think that would be a
Well, thrill. Who would you throw into the competition against Bertha, Ichiro, and Kutch?
So I know we said MLB player, and, you know, my first thought initially was Jarrod Dyson. He has that great sort of dance he does on the pads.
He's also, you know, I feel like he's athletic.
Yeah, athletic. But I'm actually going to say, I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm going to say the Philly Fanatic. I think he should be competing.
I totally wrote down the Fanatic, too.
Right?
Yes.
We already know he's a great dancer.
Nobody has a better belly bump. We know that.
Yes, absolutely. We know he's a great dancer. We've seen him dance before countless times. We know that he can get himself to the studio because he has the four-wheeler. We know he has, like, friends and family who will sit in the crowd and watch him.
He also has a posse that will eat the other competitors.
That is true, too. He has those inflatable people.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, who will consume anyone who tries to steal the spotlight from
him. Yeah, and, like, the thing they seem most concerned with on that show is not just the, like, technical precision of performing, but you need to have the spirit of the dance, and nobody embodies that more than the Fanatic.
I think that's really great.
That's my choice.
Yeah, that's a nice outside the box answer, Dakota. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, I also wrote down. Well, I guess it would have to be like on America's Next Dance Crew. That was a show, right?
Sure.
It was, right? Wasn't there a show
there's
like
America's Got Talent where dance crews win?
There was one that was definitely just about dance crews. Anyway, the Mariners, all of them, should try to do
just
this.
Just the entire Mariners.
All of the Mariners.
Team.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be impressive.
Their bullpen's already got moves. You see that. I'm pretty sure, like, Cano is a good dancer. I just get the sense he is.
That's true.
He seems to have some, you know.
He certainly has swag.
Yeah. And that, I guess, you know.
Okay.
You could at least be on the dance crew with the Mariners bullpen.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Fanatic would win against anybody, even including Mike Bertha. And his
all of the
professional
Mariners.
Dancing
and Ichiro and Kutch.
Kutch didn't stand a chance. Ichiro was close. But, I think the Fanatic's got my number in that category.
I think you're right. I think the Fanatic would probably win all
the
of it.
The belly bump puts him over the top.
It's true. Yeah. Well, he can use that to intimidate the competition as well, which is important.
Right.
Now, this is an interesting thing. I love the Fanatic. Gemma, do you like the Fanatic?
I like the Fanatic.
Mike, do you like the Fanatic?
I'm contractually obligated. You're not allowed to live in the city of Philadelphia without basically well, that getting sounds, a
tattoo. That's like faint praise right there. Or do you? I love the Fanatic. I will say with pride, I love the Fanatic.
If you lived in Malaysia, would you still like the Fanatic?
Yes, absolutely.
There you
okay.
go.
Okay. Well, see, this is interesting because there are probably people out there because, you know, no one in the world has a 100% approval rating, right?
Right.
Somebody...
If anybody does, it's got to be the Fanatic.
Exactly.
Okay, but, like, so, what about Mr. Met? Does Mr. Met love
well,
the Fanatic?
Well, yeah, you've got to, Mets fans don't count. Mets fans don't get to vote in whether or not.
Well.
I bet if you polled Mets fans in hooked them up to a lie detector and asked them if they like the Fanatic, they would say yes. Because those are people who understand a good mascot. But...
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously they appreciate it. I mean, it's difficult, though, because, like, if you ask me, like, I'm going to say that I don't like Mr. Matt. But, I mean, he's a good mascot.
That's because you grew up a Phillies fan, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well... So,
I don't have to like him, but I respect him.
Okay. Okay. You at least respect him. This is where I'm trying to go to with this, though. There are people out there who probably don't like the Fanatic. And you know what? I don't have time for those people. I'm going to be real. I'm gonna keep it 100, as they say, as the kids say. I don't have time for those people. And I would consider that a deal breaker in any sort of like a romantic relationship. So what I would like to know, because earlier this week we saw a Giants fan and a Dodgers fan were...
They're just some couples. They were just talking about how they, you know, despite the fact that one is a Giants fan and one is a Dodgers fan, how they managed to make that relationship
exactly.
work. Because that could be a deal breaker for
it
some people.
It could be a deal breaker for some people.
Yeah.
And so, we, you know, personally, the Fanatic, if you don't like him, that would be a deal breaker for me. I want to know what you guys have to say. Mike, we'll start with you. What is, like, your big baseball deal breaker, like, the most important thing?
You guys are going to probably groan at the notion that I'm bringing this up again, but you can't bring your glove to the game. You can't bring your glove to the game. I would not be able to spend a significant amount of time with you if you're bringing your glove to the game, which I'm sure, you know, Cut 4 alum Dan Wall is certainly upset to hear that he and I will never be able to enjoy a Major League Baseball game together.
That's true. Now, so you would break up with somebody who brings a glove to the game?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's it. It's over. More realistically, though, like it's weird. Like when you know, I started thinking about that question. I actually started thinking like one of the things. It's not really a deal breaker, but every time my girlfriend and I go to a baseball game, we argue about what time we're going to leave to get to the game.
Okay.
I am a person who like I wake up and it's the first thing that I'm thinking about if I'm going to the game that day. It's all I want to do. It's all I want to talk about. So I want to leave. I'd rather get there 5 hours early than 5 minutes late.
Okay.
And I think she's wary of that probably because she rightfully assumes that if we get there and we have enough time to stop at Mitchell and Ness, then I'm going to blow our rent money on, you know, replica jerseys from the dead ball era.
I think that's a great use of rent money.
Yeah, you said
actually.
Blow all your money. That sounds like a smart investment of all your money.
Yeah, that's a sound investment. I'm investing in baseball jersey futures, basically. That's what it is.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm the same way as you. Whenever I go to a game, I always get there like 2 to 3 hours. I have one of my really good friends. We go to games all the time here, and she and I both were like, "Oh, we'll meet, you know, at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock game." We always say, and we're both there by six, like already, and we've both like been walking around before we actually text each other that we're there. Like that's just sort
Aww.
Of. I know it's a really great friendship.
Right, because what's the worst that's gonna? Oh no, not more tailgating, not more time on the concourse.
Yeah,
no, not
well,
the Briar Patch.
Here's the thing: I'm always late. I'm always, always late. I don't do it on purpose. I always leave really early.
Whatever.
I'm just always late. I.
What your subway trains just take longer than everyone else's?
Ooh, that was a sick burn.
I drive. I have a car. Okay.
You have a car?
Traffic is hard, and so is parking.
Why do you drive to baseball games in New York City?
Because I live in the middle of Brooklyn, and it takes me forever to take the subway. And going there is fine, but when I'm trying to come home at night, and it's going to take me like 2 hours to get home on the subway, like, no, I'm going to drive. I'm going to drive my car.
That is insane.
This is what I prefer. I prefer it to take half an hour instead of 2 hours. This is... what it is.
That's crazy talk considering that I live in Philadelphia, and if I were going to a Mets or Yankees game, I would be taking public transportation.
Listen to that. Hear that?
Yeah, but
you
are
against one.
Okay, so I guess that, okay, all right. Well, I have at least one. I embody at least two deal breakers for right now. Okay. I'm late and I don't take the subway.
Well, what's your big deal breaker then? If these are totally okay, if you're blasé about, oh, we'll get to the game whenever, what's yours?
I actually get really stressed out about getting to the game whenever. I'm just always late. And then I'm angry, like, because I was late. I'm, like, angry at myself. It's a terrible cycle.
If only there was some way that
it's
you could solve that problem.
Cycle, I know.
Did you just deal breaker yourself? Are you going to break up with yourself?
Yeah, I guess I have to now. Well, okay, one of my deal breakers is foul ball etiquette, appropriate foul ball etiquette.
Okay.
Like, when you go to a game, if you catch a foul ball, cool, you should probably give it to a child that is near you.
Yes.
If there's no available child, whatever, keep it. But mostly, don't be too crazy about trying to get a foul ball. Like, don't fight anyone else for it. Like, try not to, like, drop all of your possessions and fall down several sets of stairs trying to get it. Like, it's not that important.
Yeah.
You know, don't exercise too much, you know, undue effort. Mostly, like,
yeah, I feel like I can get on board with that. I feel like that's a really simple, don't be rude, don't be klutzy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like, that's how difficult. I don't think that's super difficult.
Right. Like,
if you get a souvenir, enjoy it. But
yeah. If a ball comes towards you and, like, the catch isn't great and, like, you're a little, you know, you're klutzy, that's fine. But, like, don't be that guy who reaches over five rows and then falls headfirst into some other person. Like, don't do it.
See, I think what's interesting about this is mm-hmm. that it says a lot about the person, I feel like. And you know, we do pretty much once every month, there's always somebody who's, like, shoving somebody else out of the way to get a ball or whatever. And it's, like, you see enough of that, it's... People, just chill, right? Like, you want a ball, that's fine. I want a ball, we all want a ball.
Uh-huh.
But, like, we're adults. I don't know what it is about a foul ball that, like, turns everybody, like, just manic and crazy. But, I'm with you on this one.
All right, good, okay. At least we have this one in common.
That's true.
Yeah,
you'll show up 6 hours late, but at least you'll give somebody the ball.
6 hours late, I'll just be alone in the stadium.
We'll always have respecting people for their good foul ball etiquette, Gemma.
Yeah, we at least have that. Also, no being opposed to fun. Like, I like bat flips. I like stirrup socks. I like fun walk-up songs. If you don't like any of those things, it's probably not going to work.
Well, that flows into mine. Number one, most important. And I legitimately would break up with somebody over this, is if they don't like Yasiel Puig, it for me.
I would break up with someone over that, too.
Yeah, like, that's just, nope, sorry,
you're
done.
Do those people exist? I mean, if there's going to be, I mean, who has a higher approval rating, do you think, the Fnatic or Yasiel Puig?
Probably the Fnatic.
The Fnatic. They should both be 100%.
They should
be. So anything less than that, to me, is unacceptable.
Yeah, they're infallible.
Yeah. But that was one is, and this is also kind of related to the fun thing. Mm-hmm. Cause I was thinking about this. I want to take this seriously. I want to say, like, who would I would legitimately break up with somebody over this. And for me, it's more about, like, what it says about the person, right? We were getting into with a foul ball. So one of the ones that I thought of was somebody who wouldn't high five or hug a mascot. Not necessarily specifically the Fnatic, but any mascot. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, that why aren't you going to high-five the mascot? The mascot's awesome, especially if it's, like, Mr. Now, it's one thing if you have, like, a fan thing with it. Like, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you don't want to hug Wally or whatever. That's fine. But, like, just if you're opposed to the concept of mascots and just having fun with a mascot, I would probably have to break up with that person.
So, Dakota, when we were down in Clearwater doing the Cut 4 spring training road trip, I was at the Phillies game early, and I was walking on the concourse by myself. Like, I'm, like, the only one there. There's no one near me. And the Threshers baseball mascot, Finley is his name, mm-hmm. or its name. I'm about to pass him, and, you know, he reaches up a flipper and high fives me. And I, who am I? I'm not going to turn him down. Like, I have, you know, I was raised properly. So it's just this shark and I on this empty concourse, and I give it a high five. And that totally goes to what you're saying there. Like, it doesn't matter what the situation is. Like, if a mascot's trying to, you know, connect with you on some personal level, you can't turn it down.
Absolutely. You know, and like, the same thing happened to me actually with Raymond. We had a nice moment. But it's not even just like if they offer it to you. I want somebody who's like legitimately excited about the mascot and is happy and isn't just like over it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a good, that's sort of good for anything. Like, don't be over it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do the wave, but.
Yeah, the wave, well, yeah.
Right.
Enjoy the stadium atmosphere. Don't be so too cool for it.
Exactly.
That totally goes to almost everything that we've been talking about right there. It goes to that, act like you've been there before, but also don't be over it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, want the foul ball, but if you don't get it, don't panic.
Well, and I think that's where the glove conversation, why it's so contentious, is that it lands right in the middle of that. Because, like, on the one hand, you know, I'm on the no-glove team and as well, because for me personally, I just think it's like a schlep, and it's, you know, it's a big pain to have to carry that thing with you all day when there's a minuscule chance that you're going to have to use it. But, like, there are people who want to bring it, and for them, it's all about being at the ball game and that whole
experience.
Well,
where else do you get to, at a certain point, continue to carry a glove?
Exactly.
I'm definitely on the glove and leg glove.
This is like one of those debates that just infects every conversation. We always wind up talking about it. But we're going to save that for a special. We're gonna blow it out and do an hour long. We're going to bring in like presidential candidates and ask them.
We should. That's what we need to do.
We actually need to just submit this question to everyone who runs for president.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we should just, to all of the town halls, you know, when they do the Twitter questions, we should just all collectively, CupForecast listeners, all of you, tweet at all of these moderated debates, should you bring a glove to the baseball game as an adult?
That is a great idea.
Yeah, let's all do that.
Cool.
I encourage us.
Now.
Oh, question.
Oh.
Would you date someone who doesn't like baseball? Because we have very high standards and we're all very picky.
That depends.
So would you date someone who doesn't like baseball at all?
Well, I have a feeling if they hate baseball, they probably aren't going to date me. So I think that's probably more concern there.
What about not hate baseball, but just... many of my friends are super lukewarm about baseball, and my enthusiasm is slowly winning them over.
Unfriend them.
Right?
So,
but you know,
Mike, you see that.
I run into an issue where, like, my passion for baseball is going to be unrivaled. Like, I don't think I'm going to meet somebody, you know, who's more excited about baseball than I am. So, you know, tolerating my passion for it is good enough in that respect, I think.
Yeah, that's sort of my feeling, too. It's like,
it's an all-day, everyday thing.
Well, yeah, I have to watch it for work, not even just for my own personal enjoyment, but, like, you know,
right,
this is my job. And so if they hate that, then that's going to be a real problem.
Right, yeah. But you like pulling that card, too.
Well, of course.
I know,
that's the whole point.
I love pulling that card. I got to watch it for work.
Yeah, sorry, work. Yeah.
See, there's another prospect today. I got to watch it for work.
Yeah. I guess for me, it's like I want to be able to tell people about my life, and sometimes my life is like, did you see this crazy thing that Mike Trout did? And if they don't care about who Mike Trout is, then it's like, well, thanks for letting me that into a void, basically.
That would be annoying if they just flat out were like, whatever, Mike Trout.
It's not even that. It's like, cool. Oh, you don't know who this person is or care about it, so it might as well just have said that to myself.
But you're convincing them slowly.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about something else now. I'm bored with this.
Okay, what do you want to talk about
Dakota's
now?
Bored.
How do you really feel, Dakota?
I am bored, and I have a new thing I want to talk about.
Good segue.
This was my best segue yet. There are so many really good baseball commentators out there. Vin Scully, obviously, being the gold standard. But there are so many other ones. And what's interesting about it is that some of them actually do pull double duty. Like, you know, Joe Buck, for example, will call football and baseball. And so what, you know, Mike actually was the one who thought about this first, and now I'm, like, thinking about it all the time. But what if you could pick one baseball broadcaster and have them cover or call a different sport? Which broadcaster would that be, and why? Gemma.
Well, I don't know if you should have started with me, because I kind of went off book a little bit. But I'll go with my, I'll start with my normal answer. I would be highly, highly amused to listen to Hawk Harrelson call basically any other sport. Top contenders are swimming and tennis, just because I have no idea what he would come up with to describe swimmers. Like, how would he handle that? I just would like to know. I just think it would be... great.
I thought of a really similar, that was who I was going to say, and my reasoning was extremely similar in that I wanted him to call basketball, because his signature call, obviously, is, you can put on the ball,
yeah!
And he'll have to do that, like, 50 times. And that would be amazing.
That would be truly amazing.
That applies to swimming, though. Like, when they're done with the race, everybody looks up at the board to see what the official score was.
Yes. So this is great.
That is the pinnacle moment of every race. After all the excitement of the race, all the boring stuff's out of the way, you can get to the excitement of Hawk Harrelson, you know, screaming
just
that
shouting
into the radio.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Actually, I love that. We need to make that happen.
Yeah, we're all so similar too. I also picked Hawk Harrelson. I wanted to call professional wrestling.
Oh,
I want to hear him narrate somebody getting put through a table, or, you know, the Undertaker popping up from the bottom of the ring. he's the only one that can match Jim
that's
Ross.
That's good.
Jim Ross's enthusiasm for that.
That
sport,
is actually
so.
Really good. I think you do quite well.
Basically, he's the best.
I mean, they wouldn't start him out on Raw. They'd have to start him out at some, you know, regional affiliate or whatever.
Of course.
But they're like minor league wrestling? I don't know.
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a whole thing. And Bertha will know better than me because he's more of a WWE fan. But there's like, the way I understand it is there are like regional circuits that are sort of loosely affiliated.
Well, that's how it used to be. Like back in the day, it was like, There were regional champions, so you were like the champion of the Southwest or, you know, the Northeast, right, or whatever. But now it's more like there are wrestling schools now, and there basically is like a minor league for WWE.
Amazing.
Well, that's so interesting.
Yeah, so like you can get like called up to the show, so to speak.
Do they do like Seinfeld night and like Full House? Do they do that kind of thing?
Well, this summer everybody's wearing Back to the Future jerseys.
Right.
So,
that's what's in.
You know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there like a Back to the Future themed wrestler, like a Biff Tannen?
There should be. Wait, why is there not that?
Is Biff doing anything right now?
That's a great point. But this is just completely
phenomenal deal.
I know. We've just gone completely off the rails. We all chose Hawk. Is that who we all picked?
I think that's what happened. Well, I had another option.
I also had a backup option.
Someone followed Breadcrumbs Back to Baseball.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll say my option because I feel really good about this one too. So technically, the Cut Forecast is a broadcast about baseball. So I feel like I would be a really great choice for somebody who could call another sport.
You can't see on the podcast right now.
Self-involved.
But I'm about to throw something at Dakota. I'm about to throw my pencil at Dakota.
I accidentally picked myself to be MLB's representative on Dancing with the Stars, and Dakota just picked himself to be a broadcast.
So what sport would you call?
I don't know. Pick one, any sport.
Swimming with Hawk.
Co-anchors. One of the greatest sports moments of all time was at the 2008 Olympics, the 4x100 freestyle relay in which the United States, and specifically Jason Lezak, overtook France on
the very final
50 meters.
I guess you can do this. I guess you're allowed.
Look at that.
I guess you're allowed. Do you want to hear about?
You did your homework, Dakota. Good for you.
Do you want to hear my backup option?
Sure.
Since I assumed we would all choose Hawk, rightly so.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the more popular option would be Vin Scully, just because like I would listen to him like speak about any action, any
right.
event, any like normal human behavior. I'd be like, yeah, cool. If he's talking about it, I'll watch it. I don't really like listening to broadcasts most of the time. I just like watching the game. But I was like, you know who I do like? Yasiel Puig. You know what Yasiel Puig likes? Soccer. Would I listen to Yasiel Puig commentate on a soccer game? I would learn Spanish so that I could understand it better.
That's good.
Actually,
well, there's that video of him playing MLB the Show, I think it was, or he's playing some game and like he hit a home run.
Yeah,
obviously.
Oh, he also like loves playing soccer games. I would listen to him like Real game, that would be fun. World Cup game, even more fun. Can you just imagine how awesome his goal calls would be? When they're already so good, when home broadcasts have goal celebration calls, it's already so exuberant, but his would just be out of this world incredible.
That's true.
Right, but in my head, I'd like him, every time somebody scores a goal, I want him to bat flip. So like,
that's
it wouldn't work over the radio. Like, you couldn't.
That's
unless,
true.
Unless they have
but
like
him,
a bat flip down.
Him yelling hallelujah to that virtual home run. Just like imagine him yelling goal every time like Cristiano Ronaldo scores something. I would just be
that's true.
Incredible.
And
they are besties. Even better.
Ugh. I mean, that's a really good idea.
That's my dream now.
Just more great. Puig anywhere, basically.
More Puig.
Yeah. Well, this was, I think, a riveting conversation. I enjoyed it very much, especially the part where I said that I was bored. I was being ironic.
That was the most invigorating portion of the conversation.
Well, what's interesting, I was a theater major, and so that right there, I was just displaying the art of acting. So I was pretending to say something.
I was just, you didn't really mean it.
But what I'd like to do now is sum up.
Are you a method actor? Are you going to be bored the rest of the day? Like until you're all set, are you going to be bored?
Yeah, I'm going to like shout at everybody in the studio too, how bored I am. I feel like what we need to do now is sum up everything that we have talked about here in this podcast into 140 characters, one tweet that just completely captures the essence of everything we've said today. Mike, you're not here, so I'm going to put you on the spot and have you go first.
Sure. Ichiro does the polka, and Hawk Harrelson calls Pyro, because that's the best part of WWE. So Ichiro, yeah, whatever I said, I forget
this,
it already.
Okay, so this is what, about 750 characters?
I think you just wrote a novel on Twitter.
Do all my ums count in there, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just...
This is like a talk-to-text
That didn't even get tweeted out. That was bad.
It's actually a Facebook
You're
status.
You're bad, and you just wrote
a long, rambling Facebook status instead.
That was very disappointing, Michael. All right, Gemma, you have a very low bar to clear.
I'm usually really bad at this, so thanks. Thanks, I appreciate it. Fanatic on Dancing with the Stars? ? Hashtag, you can put it on the board.
That's a good hashtag.
It's so long.
The best part of that was how you got like halfway through the Hawk impression and then were embarrassed.
I was too embarrassed to keep doing it.
That's the beauty of Hawk. You just got to let it all out.
Yeah, you got to sell it.
Okay, I should probably go.
Nice of you to give yourself the courtesy of going last, Dakota.
Yeah, I know.
How kind of you.
Well, I have nothing. All right, here we go. The hashtag cut forecast broadcaster Dakota at Dakota Gardner should call swimming at Michael Phelps.
You're gonna tweet it at Michael Phelps?
Yes.
Like, he has the magic power to make this happen.
What, isn't he like in charge of swimming?
Like the swimming wizard?
Yeah. Like he's like the president of swimming.
Yeah, he's the swimming czar.
The commissioner.
He's the commissioner of swimming.
But I'm pretty sure that he's the commissioner of professional swimming.
I think so too. I'm like between 85% and 90% sure that he just sort of says what happens and the rest of
swimming,
fish, dolphins, that. Everyone, they all listen.
Anything that swims, yeah.
If you have a tweet that sums up this podcast better than ours, which you probably do, let's be honest.
Mine was the best.
You can tweet them at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast, and we will retweet some really good ones. You can also follow us at Cut4, and you can hear more content like this and read more content at MLB.com/Cut4, and we'll be there with all of your really important baseball news. You can listen to us next week as well. I'm Dakota Gardner.
I'm Gemma Kaneko.
I'm Mike Bertha.
That's Mike Bertha. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.